Hello all, this is Vasant Kumar from All Out for No Loss, and I have with me Anand Kumar Shankaran. The rest of the group is not in today. This is the first of the IPL 2025 previews. Today we are going to look at Punjab Kings, the Lucknow Super Giants. Third team we are going to review today are the Gujarat Titans. The Punjab Kings and the Lucknow Super Giants picked up the most expensive players in the auction. Rishabh Pant landing in Lucknow for 27 crores and Shreyas Iyer, I think at 26.5 or 26.75 crores with Punjab. Both of these teams underperformed last year, especially Punjab, but then Punjab always underperforms. And Lucknow, did they make the playoffs? No, they did not make the playoffs last year. I think they stumbled their way to 6th position or 7th position or something like that. 2025 was a mega auction. A lot of people were released and brand new teams were put up. And in fact, Punjab released a lot of people, as is their usual practice, mega or mini auction. So let's start with Punjab, Anand. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Punjab also has a new coach. Ponting has moved from Delhi Capitals over to Punjab. So that is also new. I want to see how long they would last. It's hard to believe going for over 25 crores. It's even harder to believe Shreyas Iyer going for 25 crores. Perhaps he being the winning captain, the defending captain, you know, helped them. But I don't know. I suppose it's the free market and the market did what it's supposed to do. But looking at the Punjab team, there is definitely that Aussie feel to it. There's Inglis, there's Maxwell, there's Stoinis. There's also Marco Jansen in this team. Who would start? They have to start with Maxi and they have to start with Stoinis. And their bowling in the absence of Jansen looks weak. So they have to start with Jansen as well. So I think their bowling substitute is clear. Chahal becomes the bowling substitute for the lack of his batting. It was a nasty miss. I don't know how RR let go Chahal. RR did a bunch of mistakes this time. Somehow, I think their bowling, when you have, you know, Chahal and Marco Jansen and Stoinis, who is more than competent, and Maxi and Brar and Arshdeep Singh, the bowling definitely seems really good. I don't remember Punjab having a reasonably good bowling attack, at least this good a bowling attack in the recent past. They've always packed their batting. You know, they had that baseball-ish approach towards batting where they had Shah Rukh Khan coming in at 8 and 9 and whatnot, right? Seems like a reasonably good bowling team. The batting, it's Inglis, Prabh Simran Singh, and then Shreyas Iyer. I don't know. I have a feeling that between those three, they're going to have, you know, Stoinis and Maxi and Shashank to do a lot of work. Last year, who were the two batters? One was Shashank and the other guy in the
Ashutosh Sharma.
I don't see Ashutosh Sharma in the team anymore. Where did Ashutosh go to?
I think he went to Delhi.
Oh, he went to Delhi. Yeah, Ashutosh went to Delhi. The Ashutosh-Shashank pair saved them a lot of games last year. Their batting seems iffy, particularly because I don't see the top three having enough batting firepower to take them to reasonable scores. What are your thoughts?
You hit the nail on the head. Their batting looks extremely sort of workmanlike. And Shreyas Iyer is not the explosive T20 batter. He's a very good ODI batter, but not necessarily a very good T20 batter, at least not the explosive kind. I am expecting them to give Inglis a chance because he's been pretty spectacular and he definitely can open. But that said, Maxwell and Stoinis will have to carry a lot of the weight. It's also possible that Stoinis might be asked to open simply because they don't have enough of batting depth at the top. So Stoinis might open with Prabh Simran, which allow them to play Osmatullah Amarzai or Xavier Bartlett as the fourth foreign player. Their bowling, as you pointed out, very impressive with Arshdeep and Jansen. Support from Yash Thakur, who was pretty good. And then Yuzi Chahal. And then Harpreet Brar with his tight left arm spin. Vadera bowls a little bit. And then we have Maxi and Stoinis. So they have a reasonably deep bowling lineup, including a sixth and seventh bowler who can do the deed if they want easily. They're batting. They have to depend on Maxwell and Stoinis a lot. I would reckon that Stoinis will be opening. There's a very good chance that he will open with Prabhsimran and allow Iyer to come in at three. Or they might just stay with Inglis and not bother about Omarzai. There's also this guy called Aaron Hardy, who's an Australian all-rounder. Again, a two-way player whom they could lean towards. But your basic assessment is the batting is iffy. Their bowling looks complete. Two things stand out. One, they only have four capped Indian players. Arshdeep, Kuldeep, who has played just one or two games for India, Iyer and Chahal. Now, and then they have a whole bunch of uncapped guys. Shashank, Prabhsimran, Harpreet Brar, Yash Thakur. There is this guy called Priyansh Arya who lit up the Delhi Premier League with some fantastic batting. Ashwin was talking about him as a very, very special talent. And then there is Mushir Khan. I don't know how good a T20 player Mushir Khan is. He seems to be more of the longer format player, but you never know. And then there's this guy called Shedge, I can't get the name right, that Suyash Shedge, I think, from Mumbai. And he's been actually very, very good. They have a little bit of backups, but they're all in the uncapped category, so there are a lot of unknowns. The second thing that has changed, you pointed out something about them in the past, which was all about hitting. This team is not that.
No, it's the opposite.
It's exactly the opposite. So they've shifted away from their let's go hammer and tongs at the ball and then just hope that we can bat out the opposition. They had, I think, Luke Wood, a guy from England, who was their hitting coach. And that was their philosophy back then. And maybe I think I got that name right. I can't remember for sure. But now they've done a 180 on that. If these guys are smart enough to bat around Shreyas Iyer, they will do well. Because Shreyas Iyer can hold one hand up. And once he settles, he can start scoring very, very quickly. And if they can keep him at one end of the batting lineup and start scoring heavily on the other side, which is what Kolkata did last time a lot.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah. That's exactly what happened in Kolkata.
Yeah. It just might work because these guys have the bowling capability. There is one more disadvantage they have, a unique disadvantage. And no, they're not hosting the tournament. Just make clear. They have two home grounds. One home ground is their Mulanpur, where they play four games. And then they're playing three games at Dharamsala. Now, it's a little harsh because all the other teams get to play seven games on their home turf and they just milk it. These guys, they struggle. But then they struggle in both places. It's not like Mohali or Mulanpur is a great place for them. And neither was Dharamsala. So this home field advantage is lost on them. But long story short, the Punjab team, I don't think they're primed for success. I will be surprised if they make the playoffs. But they could potentially give a bit of a run, depending upon how the batting holds up. In my opinion, chances of them hitting the playoffs are somewhat low.
It's been the history of Punjab Kings. They will play really well. You feel that they're going to make it. They'll stumble in the last step. But they will cause a couple of upsets. They'll provide a lot of good entertainment. But that's about it.
You never know with these guys. That's Punjab for you.
Oh, yeah. Stoinis does open for Melbourne Stars. And he has been on like insane hitting form. Even in Australia with the longer boundaries, I think he scored a 149 of some 60, 70 balls, some ridiculous hitting last year.
No, that will be very interesting because if they free up that spot of Joss Inglis for Stoinis to open, that will give them the opportunity to either play Omarzai, Hardy or Bartlett or Lockie Ferguson. They have the bowling. I mean, they can chop and change every which way they want. They have the bowling. The only person for whom they don't have a backup is Yuzi Chahal. But then nobody has a backup for Yuzi Chahal. I would think that if their batting holds up, they just might be in business. Let's go over to the next team for today. The team that splurged 26 crores on the Indian national test wicketkeeper, Rishabh Pant. Then again, Sanjeev Goenka has been spending money in tons. He bought a franchise for an exceedingly large amount of money back then and now again. And then they proceeded to retain Mayank Agarwal, who's spending more time in the NCA on the unfit list very sad. Clearly a super talent, but then he doesn't seem to last more than 12 overs a year. Once again, the rumors are that he's out for the first half of the season.
Oh, man.
They have Mitch Marsh in a batting-only role. He's not cleared to bowl, but which is fine for them. They have Pant. Then they have an interesting guy called Breetske from South Africa, who hit a 150 in an ODI match in one of those practice matches in Pakistan. Then they have Nicky Puran, who is a very special talent. Then they have our old friends, Aidan Markram and David Miller, who are guaranteed to give you, what do you call it, returns. And then you have Shamar Joseph. So they're pretty decent squad. They have only six foreign players, but a pretty decent group of players. Their capped set have got Avesh Khan and Akash Deep as the two Indian quicks, which is not too bad, not too shabby. I was very impressed with Akash Deep in Australia. Avesh Khan, he's okay in IPLs. They've got Ravi Bishnoi, who is India's number one leggy, at least for the national team. They have Rishabh Pant and they have Shahbaz Ahmed, who's a nice two-way player. And then in the uncapped group, they have Mohsin Khan, who, if he remains fit, is a very, very good bowler. I think we've seen that over the last 3-4 seasons. Recently, I've seen Ayush Badhoni, some videos of Ayush Badhoni batting. The guy is just like tiny little guy, but he seems to have a lot of power. And he's been batting very well. Outside of that, that team is looking poor. They don't have depth. And that's a concern because you've got only 5 uncapped players. I'm not counting Mayank. That essentially means they have to play 2 uncapped players. Mohsin Khan will be one. And then there is this Badhoni will be the other. But then they need 3 since it's a team of 12, right?
Do they have Abdul Samad?
They do have Abdul Samad. Abdul Samad, in so many years, it's always what, 1 game in a season.
Did Sunrisers play Abdul Samad at like 4 or 5?
They played him deeper. They just want him to come and hit. So the way I see this lineup coming up is I'm expecting Rishabh Pant to open, actually. Mm. Pant opening with Marsh, with Markram at 3. Markram can bat anywhere. Okay. Or there might be a temptation to have Markram to open and play Pant at 3. Anything works. Nicky Puran at 4 because he can control the middle. And David Miller and Badhoni at 5 and 6. And then Shahbaz Ahmed, maybe Samad, and then the bowlers, Bishnash Deep, and with Mohsin being the impact from the fielding side. So that would be my sort of first cut at the playing 11.
So if the top 5 does not deliver, or if, you know, they are, you know, 80 for 4 in 10, that there's nothing there, basically.
There's nothing.
Right?
There's nothing.
Which is
there.
How pretty much any team that David Miller goes to, that seems to be the thing that follows him. You know, he's there in one end and a long list of people who cannot bat around him.
True.
But the travesty of this team is from a foreign talent pool, Justin Langer is their coach. So he's going to play Mitch Marsh as a pure batter, which means that from the foreign resources, only Markram can bowl, right? Of the 4 players. If they can fit Joseph into this, who would they drop? They have to drop Mitch Marsh, right? Or they can't drop Markram. Markram is their, you know, off-spinner, the true all-rounder they have.
Yeah, they don't have any off-spinners. Markram is the off-spinner.
Markram is the off-spinner. They can't drop Miller. Nobody in their sane mind will drop Puran. Mm-hmm. You know, you build a team around them. So, and Justin Langer is not going to drop Mitch Marsh.
Not for Shamar Joseph,
right? So the bowling, basically, you know, Avesh Khan is good, Akash Deep is good, Bishnoi is good. But, you know, you really hope that Markram is good. That's 4, I suppose.
Yeah. And then you've got Shahbaz Ahmed who'll bowl a little bit. You're right. It's a very thin bowling lineup. And
even thinner batting lineup.
Yep. And peculiar home ground. You never know what you're going to get because they have 2 sets of pitches. Black soil and red soil. So one day it'll be slow, one day it'll be quick. I mean, so there's uneven bounce, slow wicket. They could have easily have relayed the tracks. We don't know anything. We did see some high scores in the WPL in Lucknow. Mm. Just completed. But the flip of it is, if they played so many games in the WPL, what's going to be the state of the pitches? They'd be tired. Mm. It's not like the WPL was very long ago. Those 4, the last games in Lucknow finished about just a week ago. So we're talking about 2 weeks of time for the pitches to sort of ease up. So I don't know whether the pitches will be Brady.
If you have Pooran, Pant and Miller in your team, you know, you should make your pitches true, right?
I mean, look at Marsh. Marsh,
yeah.
Pant, Markram, Pooran, Miller. If you get five guys like this, you put shirt fronts and say, go for it. Anyway, people are going to hit Avesh and Akash Deep.
I was surprised to see Hungergaker make his way to LSG.
Hungergaker somehow never managed to make a mark in, even though he got several chances with CSK. And with a team that did not have a seam bowling all-rounder with Deepak Chahar injured and so many problems, he couldn't stick. And that's saying a lot. The dark horse here is this guy called Manimaran Siddharth. That guy played a few games. He was very good last year. He was pretty good. And my guess is that he might get a few games here and there. I do think that this is a somewhat weak team. I do not expect them to make the playoffs on paper. The hope that Marsh has a major season. When he gets going, he's unstoppable. Pant will win them a couple of games. We know that. Pooran will win them a couple of games. We know that also. But who's going to win the remaining four games that they need?
Did Krunal play for them last year?
He did. And he has moved to
RCB.
RCB. Are they better than last year? I don't know. I mean, I can't figure out whether this team has done much improvement in this year's auction. I do think that they overpaid for Pant. Who did they retain? They retained Pooran.
They retained Badoni, Pooran, yeah.
Badoni,
yeah, Miller.
Mohsin. No,
Miller
was,
right?
No, Miller came from Gujarat.
Oh, Miller came from GT. Yeah, I get confused between the two.
Yeah. Bishnoi. They retained Bishnoi.
This is a team that actually made playoffs in the first 2 years of existence. Last year was their actual bad year.
Correct. Right. I think the changes haven't exactly helped. They've put too much in the hopes that Marsh will come through and a few of the others will come through. Okay. But then again, Nicky Pooran has been in phenomenal form when he gets going, and he's a terrific player. That said, on paper, LSG is not one of my semi-finalists. They have too many holes. A 14-game league phase might be a little too much for them. I suspect that they'll have a challenge against most teams, especially the freewheeling, hard-hitting teams. These guys won't be able to stop them. And then any team with an incisive set of quick bowlers are going to cause them grief. So the third team we are going to review today are the Gujarat Titans. The Gujarat Titans won the IPL in their first year of existence, led ably by Hardik Pandya. They followed that up with an outstanding performance in the second IPL, and but for some magic by Ravindra Jadeja, they might have come away with a second IPL title. And then the wheels came off. First, we had the trade of Hardik Pandya. And then the struggles with their lineup, and the pitches became such that their spinners were not able to make a lot of impact, namely Rashid Khan. So this year, their component of overseas player, Kodzia, our good friend Glett Phillips, Joss Butler, and Afghanistan's Karim Jannat, Khagis Khan and Shafian Rutherford. Now, this time, this team has got eight captain Indian players, including the ageless warhorse Ishant Sharma, and then giant Yadav, and then Siraj and Krishna, both are in this team, Prasad Krishna. And the last two quicks in our test team, that is. And then we have Sai Kishore and Shubman Gill, Sudarshan and Washington Sundar. So that's their set of cap players. Uncapped, they have Anuj Rawat, and then a bunch of others, including the Iceman, Rahul Tevatia, and Shah Rukh Khan. Your thoughts?
I look at this team and I'm like, you fit Washington Sundar in this team. I mean, it's the same thing, but I think he'll at least start in a few games. But who would they open with? Gill and Sudarshan are like two sides of the same coin. Both will need a little bit of time to get started.
And the third guy is also the same, Joss Butler. So
Butler too. I think they should free up Butler. So basically what I'm looking at is they'll let Butler open and let him lose, or they're going to make Glenn Phillips end up doing a lot of work. This kind of has the same problem. It's actually a worse problem than LSD. LSD at least have like four or five players who go all out and then cliff drops. Here you have like three one-day international players, right? And then you have Phillips, and then, you know, Tevatia, right? So basically, how many games can Ted save? How many games can Rashid Khan at 8 or 9 come and save? I don't know. The bowling, of course, is spectacular, right? So you have Prasidh Krishna, you have Siraj, you have Rabat, and then you have Rashid Khan, and you have Sai Kishore. I think Sai Kishore will start. I don't see another left-arm spinner here. So Rabada, Krishna, Rashid Khan, Sai Kishore, then you have maybe Siraj come in as a sub, you know, power player. I think this whole power player business actually hinders teams like GT and LSG because they don't have enough firepower in the bench to be able to make full use of it. Whereas the other team actually will have that like truly great player. Here, now that I'm thinking through, they probably have to play Sundar because they'll need somebody to bowl a few overs in the middle. I suppose that's why he's going to play. But like, if you have Gill, Sudarshan, Butler and Washi in the team, that's starting to look more like a ODI / test team than a T20 team.
I would agree with you. Gill and Butler can really get going, but they need the power play. First 3-4 overs, the power play, nothing happens. And the switch is flipped. Now, Sudarshan is another one. I mean, we all remember that knock in the finals.
Yeah.
And we absolutely smoked the CSK but bowling.
Acceleration. He accelerated late, even in that game.
Yep.
Right? No, no. Yeah. All of these are like proper batters.
They have only one, Glenn Phillips, who can accelerate from the first second. You're right. Washington Sundar gets to play because they don't have a batter bowler in the middle. Yeah. And the other problem they have, like you very correctly pointed out about this, how do you use your impact player, is your batting impact player is somebody like Anuj Rawat. They don't have anybody else. That's when the problems are. Because however good Gill and Sudarshan and Butler and even Glenn Phillips can be, you don't have any more batting. Look at your capped Indian team. They're all bowlers outside of Gill and Sudarshan. Yeah. They're all bonus. There's no reserve batter. And if you look at the uncapped players, they have Shah Rukh Khan, who has done nothing.
Unfortunately for them, like there's a Hail Mary play here, which is they basically give Shah Rukh Khan a go. You know, let him play all 14 games. If he fails, dump him and be done with it. But he's the second power hitter in the team, apart from Glenn Phillips. There's nobody else.
It's funny. If this team bats second, it'll work for them better because then they can decide whether they're going to play Anuj Rawat or they're going to play Shah Rukh Khan based on the situation. Because if the situation is such that you need somebody to get going and get runs, they can just squeeze in Shah Rukh Khan. Bat first, then it becomes a problem because you have to announce your team out of the gate and you have to make a call on Shah Rukh Khan or Anuj Rawat, assuming Sundar has to play because of the bowling situation. The best thing that can happen to them is Sundar just is given the freedom that he gets in the TNPL and be told, you know what, just go hit. Hit from ball one. And that might just help them. But this is another team that the balance seems to be iffy. And when you land Butler, it should have been so easy for them to find another couple of big hitters. They've got this guy called Sherfane Rutherford.
Yeah.
That guy is a humongous hitter. Massive hitter. But where do you fit him in? Can you drop Rabada? Can you drop Rashid Khan? Can you drop Butler? And can you drop Glenn Phillips? We know that Qazi is the backup for Rabada. No problem. Okay. Right. So, and so is Kareem Janath. Okay. So those guys, they're all reserves. I'm looking at their uncapped players. It's sad. Kulwant Kejrolia, left-arm seamer, made no impact. Mahipal Domrohar, several years in RCB, nothing much. Manav Sutar is actually the next in line for India left-arm spinners. So, but at best, he'll be a backup to Sai Kishore because Sai Kishore is a three-dimensional player. Okay, he bats, he feels, and he bowls. I mean, he's very, very sharp. Rahul Tevatia is your hitter at the end, but can bat when you ask him to play 10 balls, not 30. The other thing that's sort of hidden, Prasidh Krishna and Mohammad Siraj are lottery bowlers. One day, they'll just blow through the opposition. There'll be no response. On another day, like we all saw in Sydney, famously, on that third day of the test match, those first six overs, they can just get taken apart completely. And I think that's a big concern for them. But then they have Rabada, who also can go for runs, actually.
Yeah, he can go for runs. T20, I've seen him go for runs.
Yeah, so they don't have a holding bowler in that setup. I mean, and Rashid Khan, it's very clear. Rashid Khan has no business bowling in the power play. He needs to come in, because once he comes in after the power play, he's very, very difficult to get away. So, and Sai Kishore is an attacking left-arm spinner. He's not your defensive bowler. I think what they're going to do is they're going to make Sundar bowl a few overs in the beginning.
In the power play.
He'll probably go do his darts, okay? And big ground, large expanses at home. The square boundaries are very big at the Motera. If he keeps slightly back of length, you park a sweeper on both sides, runs may not so easily flow.
Will Ishant play at all?
Ishant Sharma, why should he play? Unless he's just a backup for Siraj and Krishna. So I have no idea what he does nowadays, whether he's played anything. This team, again, looks a little iffy. Even if Gill has a monster season like 2 years ago, you guys are going to have a tough time making it through. Gill has an opportunity to go and stake claims for the ODI captaincy. A good performance here would put him right up there as one of the candidates for the ODI captaincy and the T20 captaincy after the next World Cup.
Jayant Yadav, I mean, our test centurion at what, 8 or 9? Has he played any IPL at all?
He has. Last year, he played a few games here and there. Okay. I don't know for whom. He does play a few. I mean, you don't even notice him. Okay. He'll bowl, he'll squeeze in a couple of overs here and there. He's not the bowler he was. He was back during his test days. I'm not terribly sure whether he's going to be in the first 11. They have Sai Kishore and Manav Sutar.
I think they have it covered.
Main guy. And Manav Sutar is the guy who is the next in line. He's ahead of Sai Kishore as far as the Indian national team is concerned.
Got it.
So even though he's uncapped. But that could have been also because Sai Kishore was injured in the middle. My take again is this is another team that I don't think will make the playoffs. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Gujarat, GT finished, what, 8th or 9th last year? LST did better, I think. LST did better last year than GT for sure. GT really struggled last year, right? LST finished 7th, GT finished 8th, Punjab Kings finished 9th, and the Wooden Spoon last year was reserved for the unfortunate team that stole Hardik Pandya,
yep.
Right? And their own crowd booed them.
Yeah, that was a soap opera in itself. Last year, remember one thing. I'm just looking up the table from last year. Four teams finished at 7-7. And it was on net run rate that RCB got ahead of CSK, DC and LSG. It's not like it was a complete failure by LSG. They actually did win 7 games. And they were, but for their net run rate situation.
Yeah. I think CSK would have snuck through except for Talay hitting a 6 way too. He hit a 60 and not a 6. He put the ball outside the stadium. Same with the Delhi Capitals as well last year, right? A bunch of teams were tied there.
This tournament has over the years become very, very tight. In the third and the fourth positions very often are between teams that are very, very close to each other. I mean, last year was a little bit of a difference, but if you get an 8th win, the chances of making it to the playoffs are very high. But then 7 does not rule you out. I do hope that we have an exciting IPL and people keep on jostling and we don't have a situation of one or two teams just running away with the whole competition. With that, we come to the end of our first episode of previews for the IPL. See you folks again in the next one where we will be talking about some more teams. Thank you.
Thank you.